Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell also you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we find Jesus entering the temple. And this is the final time that Jesus will enter the temple before his impending passion, death, and resurrection. Soon he will face the chief priests and elders as they gather to interrogate and judge him. But for now, they try to trap him with a question. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? It's clear in Matthew that these things that the chief priests and the elders of the people are so worked up about are Jesus' teachings, because they approach him as he was teaching. And the way our gospel reading ends today, we're led to believe that Jesus refuses to give them an answer. But Jesus spends the next 2.5 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew proving to them again and again his authority when he's confronted with similar questions designed to trap him. But first, Jesus asks them a question. He asks them whether the message of John the Baptist came from heaven or from human thinking. Matthew tells us that the chief priests and the elders smell the trap. They say, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Why didn't we believe him?' And if we say of human origin, the crowds will turn on us because they believe John was a prophet." So instead, they say, "We don't know." The question's too simple. Their only possible answers are from heaven or from human origin. So Jesus tells them a little parable. The father asks one son to go to work in the fields. He says no, but then changes his mind and goes to work. He asked the second son if he will go out into the vineyard, and he says that he will, and then doesn't. Which one did what the father asked? See, they can't say, "We don't know," without looking like fools. Jesus set his own little trap. This kind of parable, the kind that's used to point out their own error to those in power, has been used before. One you'll probably recognize. In 2 Samuel, the prophet Nathan tells a parable to King David about a rich man who takes the single solitary lamb of a poor man to slaughter and feed to an unexpected traveler. You see, the rich man didn't want to waste one of his many, many lambs, because he thought it would be wasted on this traveler. When he tells King David this parable, the king is incensed and says, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die," and declares the man has no pity. And then Nathan turns to him and says, "You are the man." See, Nathan used that parable to show David his sin in taking Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and then having Uriah killed. That's what Jesus is doing with this little parable. His accusers respond, of course, the first, because the first son is the only one that actually went to work. But then Jesus goes on to point out that many of them went out to hear John preach, but then went away without believing, like the second son. While those who are considered sinners, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, who through their sins had on the face of it refused John's message before ever hearing it, after hearing his message firsthand, believed and had been baptized. And even after seeing those conversions, the chief priests and elders refused to believe. It's all about intentions. You see, the priests and elders had gone out to hear John preach, intending to hear, but they closed their ears to the truth of John's message. The tax collectors and prostitutes had gone out probably intending to mock and heckle John, but their ears had been open, and they had believed. The old saying, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions," is probably born of this parable. How often have we intended to do something good and then failed? How many of us have told someone that we would pray for them and then gotten too distracted or forgotten and didn't? It wasn't done out of malice. At least I hope it wasn't done out of malice. That's an entirely different conversation. How many of us have said to themselves, "You know, I'd like to get involved with the good work that some of my brothers and sisters are doing in Jacksonville," but then never do? How many of us have been confused when we see a brother or sister whose faith had once been an inspiration to us start to drift away from the community, their spiritual life dying, and we intended to reach out to them, to call, to stop by, to write a note, but never did? We all have good intentions. But Jesus says in today's gospel reading that our intentions don't really matter. It's our actions that are rooted in and flow out of our relationship with God that really count. Often, I think our intentions never come to fruition because we don't think we can do the things we intend to do. What will I say? Who am I? We forget that we don't do any of these things by ourselves. Our baptism gives us a permanent connection to God in Christ, like a pipeline of mercy and grace that's always flowing. It's only God's mercy that makes us members of the body of Christ. I know you've heard me say this several times, but I keep saying it because I know it is so important to our life in Christ. That pipeline, though, it only remains freely flowing if we pour out that mercy from our end. When we fail to share the grace through reaching out to one another or putting our faith into action, the pipeline gets stopped up. It gets clogged. Tell me if it isn't true. How many people have you known who only give lip service to their Christian faith? And then after a while, they seem disinterested. They get bored. And they disappear. The people around us who have a vibrant and lively faith are the ones who are serving both inside and outside of the church. They let that gift of grace and mercy flow through them and on to others. Like the first son who ended up living his life faithfully. He didn't just talk about it or say whatever he needed to say to appease his father. We too are called to live our lives faithfully. God has given us the gift of life and the gift of new life in Christ, and we're called to respond to that gift. We're to be good stewards of our lives, spreading the love of God that has been given to us to others. We're not perfect. I'm certainly far from perfect. But God calls us very pointedly, through the message and example of Jesus Christ, to be different. Stephen Colbert once said, "Either we've got to acknowledge that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and needy and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it." We have a tendency to think of ourselves as the good son in this parable of the two sons that we heard today, just as we have the tendency to identify with the prodigal son in that familiar parable, when in truth, we're much more like the older son who stomped off in a huff when the father welcomed the prodigal son back with open arms. If we're honest with ourselves, we're much more like the son in today's reading who says he'll go just to get dad off our backs, than we are the son who has a change of heart and goes to the vineyard. That pipeline of grace is open and flowing. We can choose to serve, knowing that the power to do it comes from our relationship with Jesus. And just as St. Paul reminded the Philippians this morning, it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by sharing and saying the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, that is seen and unseen. We believe in Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. All things were made for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate under the Virgin Mary. For our sake and for his blood under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We have the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you call us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves, yet we live in a broken world. Show us how to love you here in the urban core of Jacksonville. Merciful God, bless the nations of the earth. Help us to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East and an end to the violence in Central America. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the world. Bless all those who are sick, hungry, lonely, or suffering in any way. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers. Merciful God,
help us.
We pray for the church throughout the world, especially for the Christians of the Middle East, China, and North Korea, and for this congregation here in the heart of this city. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the church and this city. Merciful God, bless those who have died. May they see you face to face. We remember especially Judy Deering and Susan Ellis. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Abu Sami, Mama, Alfred.
Merciful God,
help us to love others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and not worthy of you. What we have done, we have not loved you. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are not truly sorry. We repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be right in your will. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you into the eternal life. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, and welcome. It's nice to see you all here. If there are any visitors with us, newcomers, please fill out the little newcomer card that you'll find in the pew in front of you so that we can get some information from you and get to know you a little. If you're new to our congregation and you'd like some information about the cathedral, please raise your hand, raise it really high, and keep it up, and someone will bring you a bag with lots of good information in it. Nobody? No takers? Nobody. Okay. We need coffee hour angels. Please, we need coffee hour angels. There's an easel in Tolliver Hall with a little calendar on it that you can sign up for a Sunday. If two or three of you do that, it'll probably ease the pain. If you're interested in joining a walking group, there's a meeting after the service in Ingram Lounge about the walking group. Don't forget, next Sunday is October 5th. It's the day we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis. We will have the blessing of the animals at the 9 o'clock service, only at the 9 o'clock service. So if you have some little critters at home that you'd like to bring and have blessed, 9 o'clock service, be there. Or it'll be outside blessing animals. There's a men's fellowship dinner on Monday, October 6th at 6 o'clock in Tolliver Hall. The jacket around your bulletin has more information about that. The author of Toxic Charity, which we've heard so much about, his name is Robert Lupton. He's going to be here to speak at the cathedral on Wednesday, October 15th at 7 o'clock. In honor of Ed Graves' 91st birthday, please join us for birthday cake after the service in Tolliver Hall. Is Ed here? Ed, are you here? Where are you? There's Ed. Happy birthday, sir. Come have cake and celebrate with us. Remember that we're singing the Lord's Prayer. It's S... Which number is it? 119? I think it's S-119, sorry. If you have it out, then you can follow along. It's beautiful. We're doing it through until Advent begins, so we'll get to know it better and better every time we do it. And now, finally, I'd like to invite Bill Irwin. There he is. To come up and say a little.
Good morning. I have the honor of serving as senior warden here, and Dean Cade asked me in the spirit of stewardship season to speak to why I come to church and why St. John's a special team. She said 2 minutes and that's it, so I'm going to make this brief. The first reason, it was really easy for me to figure it out. The first reason is the liturgy. When I come here, it seems like used to a discipline that I go through. We say the same prayers every week, we go through the same process. But I've reached a point where now, with all the different messages you get in life, when I go through the liturgy, it gives me messages. And I've developed a routine prior to every service. I try to read the gospel. And when I do that, I get messages from it. And then when I attend the service, there are all kinds of other different messages that come to me. And those messages, I believe, are what Christ intends for me to hear. And it's what gets me through the week, and it gets me through my life, hopefully living like he wants me to live. The second thing is this community, both the past and the present. This community, to me, is inspirational. With all the ministries and things that go on, I know many of you are aware of it, but we have five fingers that have been birthed out of here. The Cathedral Arch Project, Episcopal High School, the Cathedral School next door, Cathedral Care of the Gerontology Center, and Aging True, which used to be called Cathedral Foundation. The courage and the commitment that boiled out of here to create those is inspiring to me. And so that's what keeps me going. So in the spirit of stewardship, I hope you find inspiration here like I do, and you're motivated to pledge, but pledge not only your money, but pledge your time and your talent. We need the resources. It's important to St. John's. Thank you.
And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and wine. We pray, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with John and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Christ Savior has taught us, we are bold to sing. The gifts of God to you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. and you have fed us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace and grant us courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your minds and hearts in the knowledge of God and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.